What happens when a nearsighted football player who couldn't see worth a damn becomes the most influential president of the late 20th century? Ronald Reagan's journey from small-town Illinois to the White House defies every conventional political script. He was a divorced Hollywood actor who became conservatism's prophet, a former union leader who broke a major strike, a man who campaigned against government while mastering its levers of power. Reagan didn't just win elections, he fundamentally rewrote the rules of American politics. His story reveals how performance and conviction, when combined with impeccable timing, can reshape a nation's destiny. As we grapple with political polarization today, Reagan's ability to communicate conservative ideas with warmth rather than anger offers lessons that transcend ideology. Reagan's childhood forged his political resilience. At 11, he found his father passed out drunk in the snow and dragged him inside, confronting harsh reality while maintaining optimism. Frequent moves across Illinois left young Dutch perpetually the outsider, struggling with social anxiety. Everything changed when his mother encouraged him to perform at church recitals. People laughed and applauded. "That was a new experience for me, and I liked it," he recalled. His ninth grade teacher pushed him toward drama, where Reagan discovered audiences responded not just to what you said, but how you made them feel. At Eureka College, poor eyesight killed his football dreams, but leading a successful student strike, he experienced something electric. "I discovered that night that an audience has a feel to it, and that audience and I were together." This was genuine connection, the foundation of everything that followed. Reagan's path to Hollywood ran through radio. At WHO in Des Moines, he announced Cubs games remotely from telegraphic summaries. When the wire went dead during one game, Reagan improvised a record string of foul balls, keeping thousands captivated by pure invention. His breakthrough came with Newt Rockne, delivering the immortal "Win One for the Gipper" line. Reagan understood Americans wanted meaning wrapped in narrative. Reagan's transformation from New Deal Democrat to conservative icon began with betrayal. At a Hollywood Independent Citizens Committee meeting, he proposed opposing both communism and fascism. The vehement reaction shocked him. Leftists called him fascist and red-baiter for suggesting communism was equally dangerous. As Screen Actors Guild president during Hollywood's labor wars, Reagan received death threats and required police protection. His 1947 testimony before the House Un-American Activities Committee showcased emerging political talent. He cooperated with investigators while defending his industry, quick on his feet and camera savvy. As his film career faded, hosting General Electric Theater became his political education. Touring GE facilities, he spent hours on trains reading economics, collecting facts and anecdotes with a magpie's eye and a storyteller's memory. In factory after factory, Reagan mastered retail politics, winning over skeptical workers by charming women first, then approaching standoffish men who would end up slapping him on the back. Reagan's 1964 televised address for Barry Goldwater's failing presidential campaign transformed his political trajectory. A Time for Choosing articulated twin themes that would define his career: smaller government at home, stronger defense abroad. The speech raised $1 million overnight and established Reagan as conservatism's most attractive spokesman. Goldwater's crushing defeat paradoxically helped Reagan. He couldn't be blamed for the loss, only credited with fighting valiantly. His 1966 California gubernatorial campaign emphasized character over policy specifics, and he won decisively. But governing proved harder than campaigning. Within months, Reagan proposed nearly $950 million in tax increases, creating embarrassing headlines about a record tax hike from the governor who promised to squeeze and cut and trim. The Berkeley protests tested his resolve. When the People's Park confrontation erupted in May 1969, Reagan deployed the National Guard, characterizing protesters as well-prepared and well-armed revolutionaries, revealing his instinct for choosing law and order over academic freedom. After leaving Sacramento, Reagan's radio commentaries became his most effective platform. His seductive voice created mental images in listeners' minds, much like FDR's fireside chats. He sounded overwhelmingly negative, the natural conservative posture since the New Deal, but carefully avoided calling for elimination of popular programs, appearing critical but never cruel, disappointed but never despairing. Reagan's 1976 primary challenge positioned him perfectly for 1980. With Carter struggling amid stagflation and the Iran hostage crisis, Reagan's debate skills shone. After losing Iowa to George Bush, he rebounded in New Hampshire with, "I'm paying for this microphone." Against Carter, his "there you go again" dismissal and closing question, "Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?" sealed a landslide. 51% of the popular vote, 44 states, 489 electoral votes. His inauguration captured his philosophy. In the present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Reagan's presidency began boldly. Breaking conservative orthodoxy, he cut taxes before reducing spending, passing bipartisan cuts that lowered the top rate to 50%, the greatest political win in half a century. Spending cuts proved harder. Americans wanted smaller government, but not fewer programs. The 1981 air traffic controller strike tested his resolve. Drawing on his union background, Reagan distinguished private from public sector strikes. "We cannot compare labor-management relations in the private sector with government." He gave controllers 48 hours to return or lose their jobs. When many didn't believe him, he decertified their union and advertised for replacements. Within a week, three-quarters of flights operated normally. Months later, John Hinckley shot Reagan outside the Washington Hilton. Despite a collapsed lung and serious blood loss, Reagan maintained his humor, telling his wife, "Honey, I forgot to duck," and joking to surgeons, "I hope you are all Republicans." His recovery boosted approval ratings to 68%. In foreign policy, Reagan confronted the Soviet Union directly, calling it the focus of evil in the modern world, in March 1983. His "Evil Empire" speech electrified evangelicals but divided the nation. He challenged nuclear deterrence by proposing the Strategic Defense Initiative, SDI, defensive technologies to shield America from attack. Critics dismissed it as Star Wars fantasy, but Reagan believed humanity could transcend mutually assured destruction. When Mikhail Gorbachev became Soviet leader in March 1985, Reagan found a worthy counterpart. At Reykjavik in October 1986, they nearly eliminated nuclear weapons entirely, until Reagan refused to confine SDI to laboratory testing. Though the summit collapsed, groundwork was laid for future agreements. The Iran-Contra scandal marred Reagan's second term. His administration secretly sold arms to Iran for hostages, then diverted proceeds to Nicaraguan Contras despite congressional bans. When exposed in November 1986, only 14% believed his denials. Learning of the diversion, he appeared genuinely shocked. He blanched and the color drained from his face, according to Chief of Staff Donald Reagan. Despite scandal, Reagan achieved 1986 tax reform, slashing the top rate from 50% to 28%. At the signing, he celebrated, "I feel like we just played the World Series of tax reform, and the American people won." Reagan's enduring legacy emerged as the Cold War thawed. At their final Moscow summit, when asked if he still considered the Soviet Union an evil empire, Reagan simply answered, "No." The December 1987 Washington summit produced the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, eliminating an entire class of nuclear weapons, the beginning of the Cold War's end. Upon leaving office, Reagan commanded $50,000 per speech and signed a $5 million book deal, but his memory was failing. In November 1994, he announced his Alzheimer's diagnosis, concluding, "I now begin the journey that will lead me into the sunset of my life." By Reagan's centennial in 2011, analysts compared him to FDR. What Roosevelt was to the first half of the 20th century, Reagan was to the second. Roosevelt launched liberalism and defeated fascism. Reagan revived conservatism and helped end communism. Reagan's transformation from insecure small-town boy to transformative president reveals American possibility itself. He focused relentlessly on shrinking government and defeating communism, achieving the latter fully while only partially accomplishing the former. His pragmatism enabled him to pursue conservative ends through flexible means, accepting tax increases when necessary, and forging alliances with communist leaders despite ideological opposition. Reagan's greatest gift wasn't policy brilliance, but emotional intelligence. He understood Americans needed to believe in themselves again after the tumultuous 1970s. When he declared, "It's morning again in America," he tapped into profound desire for national renewal. In a cynical age, he dared to be hopeful. That's not acting. That's leadership.